Again, welcome to the Folklife stage. Don't forget that all these wonderful programs are brought to you by the Florida Folklife program, and we are a component of the don't go, we're going to talk about wine. We're going to talk about wine.
I know. You guys have been doing great stuff over here. It's wonderful.
The wine, I don't know, we might come back.
All right.
Are you doing this one?
No, I thought you would.
So anyway, the Folklife program is a component of the Florida Department of State, and we have the mission of documenting, you know, identifying, documenting, and preserving Florida multicultural traditions. So stick around, and Annette Fromm will be introducing our next guest for opera.
You're a Popka, right? No, Palatka.
Well, okay. Hey, welcome back, and this is still the Folklife area, as Leo said, and our theme this year is agriculture, and gee, is agriculture in our state very, very varied. As you learn when you walk through the tent, don't forget the mules over there, and the tractor pull. I think he'll pull each and every one of us with his old little tractor there, but one of the areas of agriculture that is in the state that I really don't know that much about because we didn't sit and talk is wine culture or grapes. And I have Kelly Thropp here, who's from the Palatka area, from Log Cabin Farm and Vineyard. Now, Kelly, what all do you have on the farm?
Well, we have a couple donkeys.
Wait, are you on? Is she on?
How about okay. Now? Okay. We have a couple donkeys, not mules. But
so you feel at home with our accompaniment over here.
Oh, yeah, the braying was I felt at home. A couple horses, dogs, cats, you know, pigs, things like that as far as the farm. The core of the farm, of course, is the vineyard, which we have 10 acres of vines in the ground. We are geared toward agritourism, meaning that when people come onto our property, we want them to be exposed not only to the agricultural concept of the land, which we try not to disturb as much as possible, but to also be able to enjoy the vineyard atmosphere. It is very serene. It's very quiet. If you take a look at our little table over there, there are some photographs, some established vineyards, and as you can see, it is quite a beautiful environment to work around.
Kelly,
I feel at home.
Kelly, how long have you been in the business? It's a family business, right?
Right. My father, who's sitting over there taking pictures, started this 7 years ago. It was my day off, and he said, well, I'm going to plant grapes. I said, well, I think you're crazy. So I went ahead and helped him on his second venture, which was his second acre. And in 7 years, of course, we've established 10 acres of vineyard.
What type of grapes do you grow?
These are all muscadine grapes, which are native to the southeastern region of the United States. For over 200 years, of course, they've been the muscadines have been in the Florida area. Of course, it originated in North Carolina, with the tobacco fields and so forth and the lawsuits, of course, North Carolina is tremendously turning into a viticulture state. But here again, Florida, viticulture in this state underdeveloped agricultural commodity at this point. There are numerous wineries in the state, close to 30 wineries in the state of Florida at this point, and basically they have nowhere to buy the muscadine juice. So with farms like ourselves and any type of outreach that we can provide to any other farmers or potential farmers, then we are slowly getting vineyards established and getting those grapes to the commercial wineries.
So that raises a question. You yourselves do not produce wine?
And I was going to break open this bottle, but the state of Florida said I can't. So I apologize to you, what few are left in the audience. But we do make wine on an amateur level, and this was from this past year's Florida State Fair. Collectively, we brought in 3 gold medals and 1 silver medal for our wine, both white and a red variety, Carlos and Noble.
So the muscadines are both white and red.
Correct.
And what kind of wine do they produce? Is that the correct question?
It's all muscadine wine. You can either have a white wine, a red wine, or mix it and create a blush.
But it's not like a Sauvignon Blanc.
Or... Oh, no. That's just a type of grape.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay. Now, as an agritourist, what else do you offer to tours?
We do have a historical site on our property, which will be open. Our intentions, of course, are getting into the commercial winery business by January of 2007. And we do have a historical site, which we hope to incorporate in the agritourism part of bringing visitors onto our property. It's, of course, the name Log Cabin dates back over 50 years, and in which there was an original log cabin on the property, but that atmosphere is trying to be maintained as much as possible with a log cabin building in which we conduct the majority of our business.
What's the nature of the historic site?
It's an old tabby foundation from early 1800s. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're along the St. John's River, very close to the St. John's River, so that was probably a main thoroughfare as far as a country store type thing that as we would think of now, an outpost.
And so how did your dad get the grapes established and going and so forth?
Mules like myself and my mother. Now, the grapes are purchased similar to this, and basically, of course, we buy in a larger quantity, but it's just a matter of, it's a lot of tedious hands-on work to initially establish this vineyard. Of course, you see this little guy here in the pot. Within a year, he could be up a 5-foot trellis, running down the trellis, probably good 3 to 5, maybe 6 feet, and producing grapes within 2 years, easy. But it is a lot of work and a lot of tedious labor involved initially. Yes, sir. Let me address the disease part. The muscadine grape itself does have a very thick skin for any of you who have tasted it, who have eaten it. The thick skin guards against any type of diseases. So fortunately, the muscadines, and fortunately for the southeastern region, we aren't affected by what California is affected with, which is Pierce's disease. And that is conducive to the bunch grapes. We can grow them here in the state of Florida, but as far as pesticides and so forth, it gets to be costly. With the muscadines, we have limited problems with insects, and usually one application a year, if even that, is necessary to control any type of problems like that. Our farm is actually in Satsuma, which is south of Palatka. We're inland about 45 minutes southwest of St. Augustine, along the St. John's River.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. What are we using? It all depends on insect application, pesticide. Rarely. What would you use? What have you used? 7. You're welcome.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Weed control is a big issue, and we use Roundup quite carefully, you know, between the vines and so forth and down the rows. And then also in some of the photos on the backboard that we have at the table, you can tell where they've used Roundup. Here again, it's just a careful application, and you can't, of course, spray it on any of the vines or the leaves. As far as soil preparation, you need very well... You know, a very good cleaned off area. The pH level in the soil is very important. And of course, any extension agent or any extension office can do soil testing for you. Either send it to the University of Florida or do it right there as far as soil testing. So if you need to add like lime or any other type of nutrient to that soil, then you can do so. Basically, the vines just need as much sun as possible, full sun, as much as you can, and good water runoff. So a swampland Yes, ma'am. Everything we do have an irrigated vineyard. Some people don't, and that's I think you're taking a chance when you go that route. But the vines themselves, the mature vines themselves, at this point get anywhere from 25 to 30 gallons per vine each week.
That's a lot of water.
Well,
now you said the muscadine it has a long history in the Southeast. Do you know how it was used in 100, 200 years ago?
Making wine.
Are there any
edible products making wine?
Are there any labels we would know, or was it just family kind of wine? Do you know?
As far as from years ago, far as history, I wouldn't. Nothing in this area, because the wineries are starting to evolve. It's starting to catch on more and more. The wine industry itself is becoming a hot issue with a lot of people, and a lot of the younger crowd are starting to get into it, into wine drinking. Florida wine, of course, is up and coming. Lake Ridge, of course, is a big name who we commercially supply to. San Sebastian, which is their sister winery in St. Augustine, is also, it's basically the same wine, but it's just a different label. And we're proud to be a part of their production.
I've seen when I've driven past vineyards at the end of the season that the vines are cut back. Why is that?
It's winter pruning, which is basically September after harvest, getting into November, into December. The vines themselves go dormant, so it's going to look like you have nothing but a dead twig on your trellis. It's very important, of course, to be doing proper pruning at that time, because that does increase your yield come the next harvest. And another thing too I'd like to mention is harvest, it's a heck of a thing to invite who you think you have as friends to come harvest grapes with you in the middle of August, in the dead of summer, and the humidity level at 99.9%. It's not a lot of fun, and you don't have many people coming back the next year. We have since, along with a lot of other vineyards and wineries, have gone to mechanical harvesting, which saves tons on manpower. Basically, we just need two people to operate, one person operate the machine, a second person to guide on the ground, and what would take us normally by hand 8 to 10 hours would take us about 2 hours. And I'm talking about, for instance, last year in 2 acres, we harvested over 10 tons, so... Well, when the muscadine grape itself is, they grow in clusters, which is a big difference from the bunch grapes, as you've seen in California. And when the harvester goes through, granted, your clusters ripen at off times. Sometimes you'll have maybe 90% of the cluster looks ripe and the rest of it's green and starting to come around. And that's what we would call a second harvest, because they just kind of lag, and that's just the nature of the muscadine. But for this machine, it just gently beats the top wire. And because if you go out to your vineyard or go out to your grapevine and even gently shake the vine itself, your ripened fruit is going to fall off. It's going to fall off at the touch. And, right, right. Not anymore. Thank God. I mean, between the three of us and some other close friends, like I said, it's very labor intensive, but we handle it. For the 10 acres, I guess we're fortunate enough that we all just have the desire and have the love to do this, and so we can handle it ourselves. A large vineyard, Lake Ridge is a winery, but does have a vineyard as well, a couple of vineyards in the state. The one in Claremont is about 66 acres plus, so of course they require a lot more manpower. But it is labor intensive, like I said. You do have your off seasons, and I couldn't think of anything else I'd rather be doing, to be honest with you.
Tell us about the wine production. So you harvest the grapes. Some of them go to the other companies that have purchased them from you, and then you keep some grapes. Do you still get in there with your feet and smash them?
No, we'd like to.
How about your friends? Your friends.
Yeah. Lake Ridge, they do have festivals quite often, and they do have the wine stomping, the grape stomping, just for fun. A lot of it's for the children. But no, it's done mechanically. Everything is done mechanically. Once our grapes are picked by our harvester, they're placed into one-ton bins. A flatbed will get them down to Claremont, which is about 2 hours from our home. As long as we adhere to that 10 to 12 hour window, we're safe. And once the grapes are there at the commercial winery, they're put into a large crusher, and the process starts from there. And in about 3 months after harvest, you can have a very nice bottle of wine. Yes, sir. A mature vine, if it's producing adequately, you could get anywhere from 30 to 50 pounds of grapes off of one vine. Were you asking the lifespan of the vine or the length? A lot of it's going to kind of depend on genetics, because I might have two plants this size right now and plant them both identically, put the same amount of fertilizer, treat them the same way as far as care, and one might be stunted, the other one might just grow like a bandit. It might grow like a weed. And it's just a lot of that I blame on genetics. Depending on how your trellis system is, you could get, I'd say, anywhere 10 to 12 feet. But here again, depending on how you have your vine spaced from each post and each row and so forth, and your design, your vineyard design. I'd say a plant could survive anywhere from 10 to 15 years. I've heard some older farmers who've been in the business quite longer have said that those plants have just reached peak performance, basically, and they've had to put in new plants. But for 10 to 12, maybe 15 years, I think that's pretty good. And here again, if you get a nice plant to begin with, nice rootstock and a nice cuttings as it is, then it won't take long to begin harvest again, so.
We had another question here.
Right. When you're actually pruning in the dormant state, you'll, of course, want to stay away from your main fruiting arms, your cordons. Your fruiting arms, though, that are coming off the cordons, you'll notice like nodes or spurs, as they're called. Depending on how far back you want to cut your vine, and that's discretionary. But they say 4 to 6 nodes, just to cut those back 4 to 6 nodes, and that's adequate. And, of course, that's one of the key issues as far as production for the harvest of next year. The proper pruning and, of course, fertilization throughout the year and so forth, and water. Yes, sir. We personally use Carlos for white, correct. Carlos is predominantly acceptable in Florida. It's easy to work with for white wine making, and the Noble for red wine making.
We have a question from the beekeeper.
If it's growing mold, then something, I mean, I'm not an oenologist, and by no means, I have not studied oenology, winemaking, but if it's gotten mold in it, it has some sort of bacteria, and I would, honestly, I would I would personally toss it, yeah. Unless you know someone that can make some grappa, but that's, I do have a friend that can turn bad wine into some good stuff, but anyway. Yeah. Basically, sterilization, using clean products, never use metal when you're making homemade wine, never use any metal products unless it's stainless steel, but stay away from metal products, of course, air when you're in the process of fermentation. I'm sorry? That's fine. But yeah, cleanliness and sterilization are the biggest things as far as home, well, any type of winemaking, whether it be on a commercial level or a home wine-making level.
What do you think about the latest discussions now of not corking wine, but seal? I heard a big discussion on National Public Radio about the box wines, where they're vacuum sealed, or other ways of sealing and not using cork because of the decreasing number of cork trees. Because I see your wine is corked.
Right. And we use, at this point, we are using cork. However, when you get into purchasing corks, for, I mean, thousands and thousands of corks at a time, it's less inexpensive. And, of course, with the cork availability that's going down the tubes, it's very acceptable now that wineries are either using screw tops, which to me kind of simulates MD 2020 or something, but it shouldn't take away from the quality of the wine. It's economically, as long as air does not get to that wine once it is bottled, then you're fine. And the imitation cork, so to speak, the plastic, that has no effect on the product at all.
Any other questions for Kelly? If you think them up this afternoon before, what time do we close? 6, I think? Or tomorrow, the family will still be here with their display and be willing to... Nope, we'll not be here tomorrow.
No, we won't be here tomorrow.
Well, boo. That's not...
But anybody who'd like to come visit,
and
our
table's
right here.
She does have literature and ways to contact her. And we would like to thank you for participating in this year's Folklife Area.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Don't go away. There's more to come.